You are listening to the most original talk radio station anywhere. We are LA Talk Radio at latalkradio.com.
You're listening to Question Reality.
Question Reality.
With Priscilla Leona.
Priscilla Leona.
Only on LA Talk Radio.
Hi, welcome to Question Reality. I'm your host, Priscilla Leona, and we are coming to you live from Studio City, California. Our show is broadcast every Sunday from 5 o'clock to 5:50 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. Now, if this is your first time tuning in, our show will help you question your career reality. This show is for you if you were, are, or might be interested in considering a career in the entertainment industry. Now, our guests will provide you with advice, resource information on how and what it takes to successfully pursue a career in show business. Our guests work in various professions of entertainment, so that means that we will definitely have someone on the show sooner or later from a career that you're interested in. Very exciting if you're starting out. Okay, if you want to check out any of our past guests, read their bios, listen to their interview instantly, or download one of the shows, go to the LA Talk Radio website. And you should be on that right now if you're listening to me, but just in case you want to jot it down and turn it on to your friends, it's latalkradio.com. And you click on the link at the top of the website that says Channel 1. Scroll down, look for the graphic of our show, which is Question Reality, and you click the link. Now, that'll take you directly to our archive page where you can view and list, there's a list of the past guests. And our shows are also available for download on iTunes. We are under the podcast section. Just type in Question Reality Radio in that little search box that they have on the website. If you want to find out about any of our future guests, then we have a official Question Reality website, and that address is questionreality.us, not .com, questionreality.us. And we have a fantastic guest for you today. His name is David Chopka, and he is a film production manager. But first, before we talk to him, let me give you a list of some exciting entertainment career events that are happening around town. We have this weekend, it's opening this Friday, July 30th, and it runs till August 29th, the Valley Playhouse. They're going to present Guys and Dolls, and you know this is one of America's favorite musicals. Now, in case you aren't familiar with the story of Guys and Dolls, what it is, it's a 1950 musical, and it's drawn from two short stories by Damon Runyon. And in this play, you're going to meet these lovable thugs and their long-suffering dolls. And some of the best music came out of this production, and I'm sure that you've heard of Luck Be a Lady, there's Guys and Dolls, there's Sit Down, You're Rocking the Boat, so and a lot of other ones. So the play is fantastic. It's directed by John Barry, and the musical director is Patricia Hanifan. So you don't want to miss this theatrical experience. Now, again, this play opens this Friday, July 30th, and runs through August 29th. Friday and Saturday shows are at 8 p.m. and Sunday at 2:30 p.m. It's at the West Valley Playhouse. Again, West Valley Playhouse. And that's located at 7242 Owens Mouth Avenue, and that's in Canoga Park. And you can call for your tickets. I should tell everybody to have their pen and paper right when I introduce the show. I got to tell people to have a pen and paper because a lot of people say, oh my gosh, I don't have a pen and paper, and then they got to go through the whole show again. Okay, get your pen and paper now. For your tickets, you call 818-884-1907, or you can visit their website, which is wvplay, playhouse.com. So, and I want to hear you send emails and tell me how great the show was, because I know it's going to be fantastic. Now, for those of you, I got a little bit of a treat. If you are interested in seeing me, like big pictures of me at an art gallery, well, now is your opportunity. I've been in demand for years. Okay, I haven't, but we like to empower ourselves with these positive thoughts. From July 17th, which opened last week, to August 17th, from 6 p.m. to 9 p.m., there will be a collective exhibit at the Creative Photographic Workshop and Gallery. Again, it's the Creative Photographic Workshop and Gallery, 6020 Wilshire Boulevard in Los Angeles. Now, as you guys know, I am a plus-size model. Anyone that weighs over 120 pounds is a plus-size model, I think, in this society. So, yeah, I'm in that category. Wayne Schoenfeld, who is a fantastic, incredible, amazing photographer, a digital photographer, as well as a documentary photographer. He is also a LACMA, which is Los Angeles County Museum of Art, member, and also a member of the Photographic Arts Council. I can't talk today. He has his display. He's the one who shot me. I was approached by this casting person who wanted me to give her a resume and a headshot because they were having a photo shoot by this wonderful man, and it was for a series that he was doing on icons and iconoclasts, and it was for a project from, it takes this particular exhibit is going to be his collection, but he's going to just be focusing on the Icons and Iconoclast series, and also he's going to be doing the humanitarian photo report that he shot in Ethiopia. So I believe that those are the two exhibits, and I, of course, am in the Circus Photos. It's called Circus of Life, and he also has a series, Circus of the Past, and a beautiful, takes place in the 30s and 40s, just gorgeous. You got to see his photos. They're very haunting. They have all different walks of life of the circus. That's what it portrays. So you've got to check that out. It's going to be part of the Miracle Mile Art Walk, and you don't want to miss that. Again, July 17th through August 17th, 6 to 9, and you can check out his website and look at his beautiful photos, wayneschoenfeld.com, WayneSchoenfeld.com, or you can check out the exhibit directly at creativephotoworkshops.com. And I will be on every single wall, I'm sure. 15 foot by 15 foot. Yeah. Okay. Well, check it out. Send me some emails and let me know what you thought. Fantastic guy. Okay. So now we get to our guest today, David Jopka. Hip, hip, and a hooray to have him back. He was a guest earlier in the year in January, and I got emails from people saying, oh, what about this? What about that? They wanted him back. I knew I was going to get emails to have this guy back, because he's just a collection, a universal collection of information. Now, you know, every film production is a combination of creative talent and savvy business acumen, right? Everybody should know that, if they don't know that. Well, David Jopka has been delivering outstanding production management services for 20 years. And from a legal, he does it from legal and marketing insight to scheduling and production execution. He does everything. He has continuously worked to provide back office excellence for established and emerging filmmakers. He's well versed in all elements of film production. David provides script breakdowns and budgeting for business plans, and then he follows through in building the integrated and motivated production teams. So if you're out there and you need somebody to run your project smoothly from start to delivery, you want to talk to David Jopka. Now, currently, he's working with independent filmmakers as a line producer, production manager on feature shorts, documentaries. He's also a member of Film Independent and a regular member for Jewish Family Services. He's an avid photographer whose work has been published in the Los Angeles Times and other local publications. And today we're going to be talking to David about, we're going to focus him because we could spend probably 365 days with all of the information that David could give us. But we're narrowing it down to where you today, and we're just going to be talking about short films, music videos, and the legal, organizational, and fiduciary responsibilities of the filmmaker. So he is going to be talking to us about that. So David, are you there?
I sure am, Priscilla.
David, welcome back. I'm so happy that you're back.
Oh, thank you so much. It's wonderful to be here, and thank you for that wonderful introduction.
Oh, well, I could have gone on and on and on, but it would have been pointless because you can pretty much tell us everything in a couple sentences, can't you?
I don't think so.
We need a tagline. David Jopka, a man for all seasons.
Yeah, well, some of my cohorts have come to call me Yoda. Just not Yoda.
Yeah,
but that's too much. I mean, he was a man, a Jedi Knight. I'm just a man, you know?
I don't know. It just depends who you're talking to now. It's all a matter of perspective, right, David?
Yeah. Well, I have to admit, you know, my experience is in production and making things happen. I'm not a lawyer. I don't pretend to be, but I know a whole lot of stuff, and that's how we ended up getting together.
That's right.
Questions, and I hope
we have answers.
Help you. Yeah.
It's like salt and pepper, day and night.
Yeah.
Now, question for you: before we get into all of the fun stuff for the listeners, what have you been up to since January? Because I know you've been working on so many fun projects. What have you been doing?
Well, there's been a variety of things going on, but most notable is I was the line producer for a film called Locked Away. And
was that the one where my friend Dominic worked for you?
Yes, indeed. And okay. This is going to be a hopefully on Lifetime Network. The deal hasn't been signed yet, but the same production company had a film on last spring. It was called Accused at 17. Mm. And so this is the second project from this film company, and we have every belief that it will air on Lifetime Network in September.
Oh, my God. Well, send me an email because I don't want to miss it.
Of course.
All right. Yeah, and Dominic will want to see it, too. We all had dinner last night at Ports of Call restaurant, and we were talking about you. And Dominic was telling the whole table how wonderful you were and how professional. And he had such a great time. He really, really, really did. He had always wanted to know what it was like working behind the scenes. We're talking about a friend of mine, Dominic, who did not work in the business, but he always wanted to check it out. And Mr. David Jopka was nice enough to give him that opportunity. So he did get to find out about the long back-breaking days and what goes on behind the scenes. So he was describing it for us.
Yeah, good. Well, there's so much going on. Dominic is a great guy, and thank you so much for referring him over to me. You know, I don't want to tell you
how little we paid him. Well, I'm so glad it worked out. I'm so glad because I thought, oh, my God, if he doesn't do a good job, I could never refer anybody else to David Jopka.
That's true. I won't let you send me any bad people. That's all there is to it.
No, I definitely would. I'm very excited. What happened after you worked on that project?
I, You know, this isn't the exciting part. It is that I've been doing budgets, and I've been doing a lot of script reading and working with filmmakers on projects that I can't talk about.
They're
in the process. They're in the works. I've done budgets, and I've created schedules. And now filmmakers are out raising money based upon the information that I gave them. So I'm part and parcel of the initial, you know, startup of the project. And we're getting funding, and we're getting names attached, and then we're going to be making a movie.
But
I can't tell you about it yet.
I know! Isn't that something? We're going to have it come on again so you can give us all the scoops on the projects you can't tell us about now. Now, there are so many components involved. A lot of people who want to work in film who are not in L.A. or New York or any of the major towns and may not have put their toe in the water to start pursuing a career in the field, they don't really have any idea of the components involved in getting a project done, whether it is a short or a music video or a feature film. And they just think, oh, I'm going to grab a camera and I'm going to shoot it, and then they don't know what to do with it. So now, we can, of course, cover from inception to execution, but why don't we just focus today on what the emails had asked about the last time you were on the show, which I kept them. Most people wanted to know how to shoot a short and a music video. So why don't we start with either one, your choice, and how would a person, say they're a young student, say they're either still in high school or maybe they're in college, and they get a camera and they want to shoot a film. From what you can contribute from the legal, insurance, budgeting, scheduling process, tell us, what do they need to do? What's like the first, middle, and end thing? It doesn't have to be everything, but maybe give us something from pre-production, something production, something post.
Sure. Okay. The first thing that any filmmaker needs to consider when starting a project is to believe that you are creating a business product, and that product has to be treated as if it is a business. And there's a whole variety of items that need to be established. By default, by the U.S. tax laws and other laws, an individual who starts a business is called a sole proprietor. And if you go out to make a film, and you just say, oh, yeah, I've got a camera, I'm going to shoot a film, you are working for yourself as a sole proprietor. And anything that you do within that film reflects back on you personally. And in order to protect yourself and your assets, maybe you own a car, maybe you own the camera, maybe you own a house, you want to defer risk on those items if something should go wrong with your film. And so what I'm talking specifically about is creating a company that is separate from your person and making sure that you are properly insured. And insurance is by far the biggest step forward any emerging filmmaker can do. And that says to the world that I know that there's risk involved, and I am prepared to be professional about that. So if somebody wants to make a short film, a music video, they have to decide if they want to use themselves as the company or they want to create a company. There are lots of places where you can find out information about creating a company, not my specialty. But once that's established, then you can, you must buy insurance.
Mm.
Why do you want insurance? Because of simple little things that people say, oh, it'll never happen to me. But it does.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
And
specifically,
like,
you're shooting around a pool. One of the extras falls into the pool, cracks her head on the side of the pool. Who's responsible?
Filmmaker.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and if you're sending a grip or a PA to go pick up more film from the store, and they're driving a production vehicle, and mm-hmm. they get into an accident, they're driving for work. Filmmaker
uh-huh.
responsible.
You don't think about that. Don't think about that at all.
Guess what? And if you invite your best friend to be a background extra and they fall down on their face into the street and break their nose and they're out of work for several months, guess who's responsible?
Yep.
Filmmaker.
Yep. And there's so many out here, David, is there not, doing what's called guerrilla shooting, guerrilla filmmaking?
Mm-hmm.
Tell us, for people who don't know about that, that's when I'll let you explain, and why you should not do it.
Guerrilla filmmaking generally has to do with money, as does anything. And people will cut corners and not pay taxes, not get insurance, not form their own company, just grab a camera and shoot. You know, I've got some friends in the business, and I got some great actor buddies, and we're going to get together on Sunday, and we're going to go out and shoot a couple of scenes right there in the middle of I-10. No one's going to bother us. We'll just shoot. And that's guerrilla filmmaking. It's a dangerous proposition. It's possible. Many succeed, but in many cases, you won't be able to sell your film because you don't have the proper documentation that says that you have permission to be there to use the images that you've shot, or a whole variety of things. So
very interesting. People don't think about that. You go out and you shoot your little guerrilla film in front of a liquor store, even if you're not showing the name of it. Does that still matter?
Yes, it does.
Mm-hmm.
The best advice that I can give to guerrilla filmmakers mm-hmm. is to stay away from labels, logos, names, anything that refers to a product or a person.
Right.
What we do in the beginning stages of development with a script is we actually send it to some place that does clearance. And what a clearance company does is they read the script and they look for any names that are already in use or could be problematic, and they offer a change, a different name, you know, things like that. Mm-hmm. But a clearance service is a must-have if you're going to distribute your product as a step before you start, to make sure that you've cleared the material that is in your story.
Okay.
And then afterwards, there's such things as distributor agreements and errors and omissions insurance that will go and protect you from people who might sue. But the point that I'm getting is that all along the way, you have to get permission from the people and from the property and from the locations, the equipment. Everybody's got to have a contract, and the distributor or the network or the music video outlet, they're going to want to know that you have permission to display the images of the people, the locations, and things like that.
And where does one get this? It's called a release. Can you make one up? Is there a company that sells them? Do you have them specially made?
Yeah. Well, you can make it up if you're a lawyer, or if you're knowledgeable about this. But I have two resources that are print resources on the internet. The first one that I'm going to give you for all those people out there who want to write things down, mm-hmm. His name is Mark Litwack, and he is a prominent entertainment attorney, and his website is marklitwack.com.
Spell that,
and
please.
M-A-R-K, L-I, P as in Tom, W-A as in apple, K, .com.
Okay.
marklitwack.com.
Now, is he an entertainment attorney?
He is an entertainment attorney.
Okay.
And he has multiple books and documents for which you can purchase. And you
okay.
can review them, and you can download them. And he's a great resource. He has several books that are fabulous, absolutely fabulous. Now, the second book that I'm going to recommend, because it's just incredible as well, and it's called The Independent Film Producer's Survival Guide. And that is written by three people, Gunnar Eriksson, Harris Tolchin, and Mark Halloran. And if you just Google The Independent Film Producer's Survival Guide, you'll find this book.
Okay.
And fortunately enough, it's in the libraries.
Oh,
well.
See that?
It's in the Los Angeles library system.
See that? You can go to the library and get probably a lot of stuff. They don't utilize the library enough these days.
A lot of stuff. Now, I'm also going to say, I'm going to shout out to another gentleman who has a fabulous website called realgrok.com. And that's
R-E-E-L?
R-E-E-L-G-R-O-K.com.
And what's that website?
That is a resource for filmmakers.
Mm.
And it is a subscription website. And they offer an incredible amount of detailed information. And the members contribute and share. And it's run by a man named Norman Burns. And he also has a Google listserv on film budgeting. And he's an expert in the field of film budgeting. And he's created this website specifically for filmmakers. And for a nominal fee, I don't remember what it is offhand, you can subscribe to this site, and you have access to all of the files. There are budgets there for films of $1 million, $5 million, every line item. There are releases on there. They're for locations, for models. There are actor contracts, director contracts. It's a great resource, and that's a shout-out to my pal Norm Burns.
Okay, Norm Burns, woo! RealGrok.com. Now, let's get back to when you said the insurance, because so many people don't realize that if you, not only if the person gets hurt, but if you're shooting on someone's property, especially if a friend, and they're like, oh yeah, you can come over and shoot in my house, yeah, and if you ruin something in their house, and they're going to expect you, even though they're a friend, if you want to keep them as a friend, you're going to have to pay for it. And what if you don't have any money? Because a lot of these people who are doing the guerrilla filmmaking, the reason they're doing it is because they don't have money to pay for all of these fancy things. So what do you do about insurance? Where do you go to get insurance? And how much do you need? Is it scary? Is it like a scary amount? Or?
No. Insurance really isn't that scary at all. And there are many brokers who represent insurance companies, and they will bind an insurance for a very small project. There's essentially, we're talking about something that's called a producer's package, which includes general liability and a variety of other policies that insurance companies break up, but you can buy it together as an insurance package called a producer's package. Now, most low-budget projects, and we were talking specifically about, say, industrial to commercials or music video.
Music video, short film. Mm-hmm.
Right. There are There's a policy that's called DICE, D-I-C-E, and that is for documentaries, industrials, commercials, educational films. And that's where the short filmmaker, well, that's what kind of policy they should ask for. And you can
and
get
would,
policy
would,
from, you know, from a, the amount of days that you're shooting.
Okay.
And the amount of budget that you're shooting. The insurance company will say, well, your budget is $5,000. You only have this amount of money. It's going to cost this much money. So they'll ask you a whole bunch of questions, and after that, they'll give you a price to bind you and protect you.
Is this a specific insurance company? We're not talking about Progressive Life Insurance, or,
no.
I mean, we're talking about insurance companies that specifically cover these films. Where do you find those?
A filmmaker needs to go to an insurance broker that has knowledge and experience in film making. In Hollywood, you know, we have a plethora of insurance agents. I have my favorite guy that I go to. But out in Wyoming or in another state that doesn't have a large population or doesn't get many films coming their way, it might be beneficial to go to one of the major cities and just place a phone call and say, I'm making a film. I want to buy insurance. Can you help me?
If they went to Google, would they type film insurance broker? Would that be something you'd type?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, it might be called motion picture insurance.
Okay.
Are you Googling now?
No, I'm listening to you. I'm giving you a I'm not Googling. I can't believe me, if you knew me, I can't talk and chew gum at the same time. I am talking to you and I'm thinking, oh my gosh, should I continue with the insurance or should I go on to another topic? But I'm not Googling.
the most important well, we had a little pause. The most important thing that filmmakers should know is buy the insurance.
Yes.
You will not regret it. You may never use it, but you need it. And it's just like driving a car. You drive your car, you can't even get a car licensed without having insurance.
Right.
And, of course, you've never been in an accident. Nobody's been in an accident. That never happens.
Right.
So why do I need insurance?
Oh, I know. It's just forking over that large payment, and what, you know, people just get really, really crazy about that. But you need it, you need it, you need it. So, all right. So for example, let's just narrow it down. Say we're doing a music video, and this person has no idea what the budget should be. Like, oh, I want to do a music video. My husband has a song, and he wants to make a music video just because. What in the, you know, I've had people say, how do you figure out how to budget for that? How do you know how much you're going to need? And also, I always tell people they need to have a bumper cushion of money with anything. So how does one figure out how much they're going to need for their individual project?
Well,
music video short.
You can come to somebody like me. I take a look at the script, and I can do the breakdown for you, and I can give you a very good estimate on how much the costs could be, from the lowest to the highest.
Okay.
And you know, you can basically break things down into two categories, labor and equipment. And then there's the other, everything else falls into other. That would be location fees, permit fees, insurance, a whole variety of things. But you want to make sure that you are paying people, or if you're not paying people, there's a default value to somebody's work. And you can use the minimum wage standard that the federal government uses. So I think that's around $8 an hour. So by multiplying $8 an hour times the length of your day times the number of days that you plan on shooting per person, you then add up how many people are being on your crew, and then you come up with the labor figure. Equipment, it's a market value. Mm-hmm. Whatever the value of the rental is the budget for the equipment, or if you're getting special lights, you can buy them and then amortize it. But there's a number.
And you also want to get insurance. You want to also get the insurance when you purchase your equipment as well, because they will offer insurance. As a matter of fact, some places it's mandatory when you go to rent your equipment. Say
all reputable vendors in
right.
the filmmaking business will ask for a certificate of insurance before you can rent. Some vendors,
right.
and this is actually, I've only found this in the major cities where there are rental houses, one of them here in Los Angeles called Wooden Nickel.
Yes,
they
I'm
offer
familiar.
Insurance
yes.
for filmmakers for their equipment. It doesn't
right.
cover anything other than their equipment. So
right.
you haven't complied with your fiduciary responsibilities as a filmmaker because you bought the insurance from Wooden Nickel. You're mm-hmm. still not insured for the person who trips and falls off the sidewalk.
Right, that's a separate insurance, people.
Yeah.
Yes, yeah. So the equipment, so when you get equipment, you need insurance. When you start the project, you need insurance. Now, that insurance that you get, that producer's package, which is the general liability, the DICE policy, that mm-hmm. is that going to cover, so that'll cover all accidents and the person's property if you happen to ruin the person's property?
Yes.
Do they have like a variety of stuff?
There's a whole questionnaire that needs okay. to be filled out.
Okay.
And you don't want to lie to your insurance company.
No.
Because, you know, in the end, they're going to look at what you told them and what they thought the risk is going to be. And they're going, you're claiming that you didn't know you were going to put an actor in the pool? It's in the script.
On the diving board holding the live wire. You didn't know that?
Yeah.
And she fell in?
Your broker will walk
she's
you through
dead
this.
And it's your fault, and she's dead, and you're paying for her funeral, and you're going to pay all of her relatives until like four generations ahead.
That's right.
That's very important. So far, we found that we need equipment insurance. We need the producer's package, preferably insurance. So that'll cover. Is there any other insurance that we need that we don't know about, that we haven't talked about?
We've talked around this, but I want to mention it by name.
Okay.
Workers' compensation.
Ah.
Anything that happens to a person in the labor category. So that's any person who is working for your film, their coverage in case of an accident, medical, or anything that happens to them personally is called workers' compensation. And that is required by law, period.
Is that in
so
the
if
producer's
you're
package
making a movie,
though?
Most of the time it is for these lower budgets, but when you start getting into bigger projects, the insurance gets structured a little differently. But there's an insurance company, I'm not going to mention them, but they are now putting together the producer's package, the general liability, the property damage, the vehicles coverage, and workers' compensation included in
nice.
The package.
Nice. That's nice. How come we can't mention them?
They didn't pay me.
Okay. Hey, so now you got to contact them and say, I go on various shows, and if you want me to mention it, you got to give me some coin. Give me some coins.
Well, brokers make their money based on commissions. You know, and I'm a producer. I'm a production manager.
Right. Okay.
And this is show business, Priscilla. We know that. This is business. I'm not being rude. I'm just not selling, you know.
I
like Coke versus Pepsi, okay?
That's right. Oh, me too. Absolutely. Okay. So maybe, so that package, that general liability DICE policy, when you're talking to the broker people, you should say, does that cover workers' compensation? And it should, you're saying.
You should definitely ask that question.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. Anything,
if it's not, you'll have to go and get it from another, vendor, or ultimately some states offer workers' compensation. The state of California has what's called the State Workers' Compensation Fund or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And as a last resort, because it's required by law, they make workers' compensation available to anybody who's in business,
okay,
like filmmakers.
Okay. All right. So now that covers the people. Okay. So you're making a music video or a short film, and you want to hire people. Okay. You want to get it listed. People have been asking me this question. I'm getting confused here. Okay. So people are asking me, all right, I want to make IMDb, this is the subject. IMDb does not currently allow you to put your music videos on. They don't allow you to put theater projects. They don't allow you to put commercials. They only do film and television, which a lot of people are emailing asking who are not in LA or New York. So my question to you is, people who are here who want to get credit on IMDb, because it is one of the ways that you can establish yourself as a credentialed filmmaker, if you want to do a short, I believe that they are not going to allow you to do shorts. Am I correct on that?
IMDb is its own company.
Mm-hmm.
And it is owned by Amazon.com. And another subsidiary of Amazon.com is a website called WithoutAbox.com.
Without a box?
And without a box.
Hmm.
Now, Without a Box is a facilitator for film festivals. You can put your film... what you do is you use Without a Box to submit to different film festivals. And it's incredibly easy. You set up your film description one time, and then you submit, and it charges to your credit card or your PayPal or however you set it up. And then you make a DVD, and you send it off to the film festival. Now, there are certain film festivals, and I'm saying, about 50%, of the film festivals affiliated with Without a Box will trigger Without a Box to invite you to submit your film to IMDb. And you'll get a special code in order to do that.
Interesting. And that would be for short films, are you talking about?
Yep. Anything that can go into a film festival.
Oh, wow. They didn't used to do that before. They were very strict. They only took film credits and television. So that's
talking to a guy who's figured out how to do this, and I'm telling all of you, this is how.
Thank you so much, David Dobka.
If you want to get your film on IMDb, enter it into a film festival using withoutabox.com.
Withoutabox.com. Because a lot of people... they believe that erroneously, the only way that they can get on IMDb is that they have to hire a SAG actor. So we only have 5 minutes, but let's cover maybe.
No, that's totally not true.
I know. That's what
SAG
I know. I have to tell. They're like, oh, but I'm going to do a film. I'm going to do a short film, and I wanted to go on IMDb, and they told me I have to hire a SAG actor. I'm like, no. Oh, that's not true. But why don't you, the expert, talk about that real quick. how you can make a film if you have a low budget. You don't need, well, maybe you tell, do you need to hire a SAG actor? Can you use all non-union, blah, blah, blah?
Sure. You can use non-union people. If you do use a SAG actor, then you need to work with SAG. And they do have a short film or student film contract where you can use professional actors for free. And it's all part of the SAG Indie. They have a division called SAG Indie, and they do outreach for emerging filmmakers to get them into the fold and get them familiar with the paperwork process and get that squared away. But anybody can make a film as long as they're acting like a business and properly contract with all of the people, with all of the equipment, and with all of their services.
Correct.
And one thing that I do want to say before our time runs out is contracts. Get everything in writing. And there's one of the most famous producers in Hollywood that was part of the Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer, MGM. He had a famous saying that says, a verbal agreement isn't worth the paper it's written on.
Right.
And I didn't want this show to end without quoting Mr. Mayer and making sure that everybody knows that you get it in writing.
Mm-hmm.
Just because they're your cousin or your brother or your father doesn't mean that it's a slide on paperwork.
It's
you need
so
to have
true.
It written down.
Oh,
and
my
both
God.
Parties sign it and keep a copy.
Yes. And, you know, don't be thinking, oh, I don't want to hurt his feelings. I don't want to hurt her feelings. Hurt their damn feelings, because it's going to hurt much worse if something happens and then you get in a big fight and then you have to terminate the relationship. And it's even worse if they're a family member, because then they're going to be spreading rumors about you to the other family members. And it's going to be a big Hatchfields and the McCoy situation. Am I right?
Well, better than that is if somebody says, I want to buy your short film. It is outstanding. We're going to run it on AMC, and we're going to run it on Bravo. And you go, yeah.
Yeah.
And then they go, okay, let me see all of your contracts between your actors, your locations. And there's a Budweiser beer in the background there. Do you have permission to use that? And you're going to go, no. And then your actors who may have been your family members, they're going to go, how come you didn't get them to sign an employment agreement?
Uh-huh.
And they're going to go, no, we can't take your film. You're not properly contracted. You don't have the proper paperwork. We love your film, but come back to us when you get it all in order. See you later.
You lose it just like that, and the opportunity is gone. It's gone. Oh, my gosh. Well, I tell you, I'm so sad, because we did it again, David Chopka. We have only been able to cover one little fragment of information. I am just so bummed out. We didn't get to talk about budgeting. We didn't get to talk about legal. We didn't get to talk about so many things.
There is so many things that
it
go
is.
On that people are not aware of and
yes.
often aren't taught in school.
Yes.
And I think that the colleges are becoming more savvy, and they're understanding that people, producers, filmmakers, creative people need to know that there are these legal boundaries that need to be obeyed. Laws exist for businesses, and that's what we're doing. We're
Absolutely.
Creating a business product.
And I would personally say, if anybody wants to make a short film or a music video or a big film, any size film, that you contact David Jopka, because he can look at your project and he can tell you how much it's going to cost, and he can tell you what's in it, what needs to be out of it, what you need to do. He can give you just a detailed overall itinerary, timeline. He can do everything for you. Now, people who want to contact you to have you work on their film, what's the best way for them to reach you?
They can email me directly. My email is
david.jopka@yahoo.com.
That's
right?
The one. That's
David.jopka@yahoo.com. You can also check him out on a website called linkedin.com, LinkedIn.com, and type in David Jopka, DavidJapka, or you can check him out on imdb.com. David, thank you. We got 550 and we are out of here. Can you believe it went so fast again?
It always goes fast, Priscilla. It's wonderful.
I'm telling you. And just like the wrinkles are coming, the show is at the end. It comes on fast. It's upon us. Thank you so much, David Jopka. Thank you. God bless you. Thank you so much for sharing and helping
you're
so many
people. You're entirely welcome, Priscilla. You're so much fun.
I love you. Well, wait until I call you up, and we're going to work on a project together if I can ever get that guy to fund that project we were talking about before that music
video.
Oh, yeah.
I'm waiting for 16 years for projects.
I know. I tell you, but he had no idea. He's like, oh no. When I started checking around at the places and they wanted to just shoot there, oh my God, that's a whole nother topic, because he wants a pool in Malibu, and the cost that they wanted per day was like his whole budget for the music video. So I will be contacting you and working with you, and then I can personally vouch to everyone. Thank you so much, David Jopka. And everybody, thank you. We'll see you next week. Bye.
You're listening to Question Reality.
Question Reality
with Priscilla Leona.
Priscilla Leona.
Only on LA Talk Radio.